Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
You don't have your headphones?
Oh, there you go. I'm leaving all of this in the podcast because this is riveting.
Plug me in, baby. Yeah.
Does that work?
Oh, yeah, I can hear.
Okay. They're different than your normal headphones.
Yes.
Did your normal headphones break?
No.
You just wanted to go with earbuds today?
Yes.
Earbud the podcast?
I wanted to mix it up. There's no rules that says a dog can't be on a podcast.
Hey, bud, what do you think about the new version of Malifaux?
Ruff.
No, it's rough.
Rough. Ah, yes. The classic classic Air Bud defense.
Yes, and then you're like, you know what, bud? You're right. Someone get this dog a designer contract.
Get him a designer hat.
Yeah. The dog says, I designed Malifaux 3.0.
It's just the hat that says designer on it. You put it on the dog.
Okay. Rules probably make more sense.
I don't know. I haven't looked at anything.
Me neither. It's like we give so much shit to Malifaux. It could be like the most amazing game ever. Well, but we'll never know.
I don't know. From what I hear, it doesn't particularly matter because by all accounts, second edition was much better than first edition, and second edition caused a bunch of people to quit. So,
well, that's what I'm saying is like it could be this amazing game, but we'll never know.
No one will ever know.
No one will ever know. It's like Guild Ball. Seriously, it's a game I can give two shits about. But yet, I see people playing it constantly, so I'm like, maybe the rules are good. And I'm sure now that as we are doing this,
someone's angrily typing to us now.
Of course the game is good. It's a fantastic game. It takes all the great things about what Privateer Press was trying to do, and they put it into a format that actually makes sense. I don't know why I'm talking like this. Wow! Welcome to WONC. I'm your host, Joe the Jackman, and we're here. We're going to jack it in.
And I'm Handsome Steve.
Steve. We're here with Back to Back. We're here with your double dose of Zeppelin.
Get the let out.
Hope you guys are having fun on that morning commute.
Out of the way, jerk ass.
Oh yeah.
And we wonder why radio is dead. That's what it.
I don't wonder that.
I don't either. Radio is terrible. Yeah. Terrestrial. I got yelled at by my sister for calling it terrestrial radio.
Terrestrial radio. Terrestrial radio,
which is the retronym for it, because it used to. I'm like, I don't listen to terrestrial radio anymore, and she goes, "What's that?" I go, "It's like the radio you get in your car." Like, no one listens to that anymore. She goes, why'd you call it that? I go, because that's what it is. Because you have satellite radio, internet radio.
Because if you say radio, that's a lot of things.
Yeah. I listen to the internet radio quite a bit, but I don't listen to terrestrial radio because all it is just a robot saying, like, how about those how about those dummies in Washington?
How about that local sports team? Yeah. Wah, 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 wah.
Exactly. And then they play, like, train
weenie in the butt. They really nailed that in that episode of Family Guy.
They played the scene from Philadelphia. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
They got the but that's it, they'll play like Train Jops of Jupiter for like six times in a row, and no one will care.
Yep,
because that's what it is. And then like the best part is that you still have the women at your office who are like, I still listen to Eric and Kathy in the morning, even though I don't even think they're on anymore. But it's like, why would you subject yourselves to that?
No, they got those iPhone docking stations. I don't know anyone who listens to regular radio anymore.
No, I mean, there are still people who do.
I believe you. I'm saying I don't know anyone.
I've always said that, like, it's that like morning DJ. I say Eric and Kathy cause they're local Chicago people. Like what a lot of people, for those who don't live in the Chicago sphere, people in Chicago absolutely love the Chicago TV shows, Chicago Fire, Chicago Police or whatever it's called, Chicago Law, Chicago Buttfuckers. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But they love these shows.
I didn't see that one yet.
And then it's that tier of people, like Steve and I are shit tier people. Like we like shit tier things. We do like... Like, we're like, no, we don't watch this popular thing. We watch this nonsense thing that no one else watches.
Whatever, man. I'll stick with Chicago Code.
Yeah.
which was the failed Chicago cop show from Fox.
Yeah, but yeah, you got the people, and then and that's like the people show. In the office. They're all like, "Oh, did you watch Chicago Fire last night?" And I'm like, "No."
Everyone in my office just talks about sports and superhero movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
well, you work at a sports card,
but all they talk about is sports and superhero movies.
Sports, superhero movies. There's nothing else. And
sometimes a video game.
Yeah. And me and Steve are sitting there going like, did you watch the reboot and the new redub of Neon?
Yeah. Did you watch the new dub of Neon Genesis Evangelion? And they're like, what? What'd you just call me?
What'd you just call me? I know. We're so cool and edgy. Us near 40-year-olds who are sitting there talking about like how everyone else is dumb for watching their own shows.
I didn't say they were dumb. I'm just saying that like I can't relate to your story.
No, I can't. Yeah,
because everyone I'm with does not watch these things you're talking about.
But that's why I said.
Nor do they listen to the radio.
We should write the show called Chicago Office, which is a show about people who just talk about the Chicago TV shows.
I will only accept it if we launch it as with the portmanteau, the Choffice.
No.
Well, then, it's off the table. Sorry. So, get out of my office.
Get out of my choffice.
Get out of my choffice.
Oh, it works. I have, like...
You get the hell out of my choffice.
I have zero gaming shit, so we can talk about whatever we want today, because literally, I've been doing performances for the last 8 nights. I'm operating on, like, about 4 to 5 hours of sleep per night, and I am loopy as fuck right now.
What performance?
The play I'm in. I'm in a musical right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know, you're in a musical.
We talked about this before.
I don't pay attention to those kind of things.
Yes. I'm doing The Little Mermaid currently. Disney's The Little Mermaid.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes.
Remember we had the Sebastian conversation?
Yes.
Yeah. And we're actually in the performance run right now, and it's 2 solid weeks, and I'm fucking exhausted. I forgot how much theater sucks for
this. Is it your specific vision of a kabuki re-envisioning of The Little Mermaid? See, now it makes sense to do the sound, because that's kabuki.
16 hours of people just wailing.
I like kabuki.
I hate kabuki. It's the dumbest thing ever.
I love kabuki.
It's like,
that's what weeped me out when I was a young lad. I went to go see kabuki theater in Chicago, and I was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Whenever I think of kabuki, I think of that scene from The Simpsons after Krusty watches Worker in Parasite.
What the hell was that?
What the hell was that?
We don't have Itchy and Scratchy because they're on Gabo now, but I have Eastern Europe's most amazing cartoon, Worker and Parasite.
Smithers. Garbo's coming.
Garbo. Yeah, sir. Who's that? I don't know. Gabo. Some guy named Gabo, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I watch kabuki and I'm like a cigarette hanging out of my mouth going, what the hell is that? Just people walking on stage pretending to cry for 20 minutes.
Hell yeah.
Ugh. I had to do, and when I was doing my undergraduate, I did a kabuki performance, and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, it's one of those, like, I'm going to try anything. I'll experiment. I'm in college. I'm hip. I'll play
I'm
along.
Hip. I'm with it.
I'm with it. I'll give it a try. And I did it. I'm like, nope, never again. Kabuki. Never one, not once.
Because you didn't do a reimagining cover of The Office, but it's kabuki.
the kaboffice?
The kaboffice. The kabachoffice.
Oh, the kabuki Chicago office.
Yeah, see?
Oh, now it's all over the place.
We stuck it together.
Yeah. I love performing and I love doing shows. It's just now that I've done it 8 times in a row, I'm like, my mind is melting.
Oh, for the most part, I hate plays.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I did like the alien one that those kids did, but I will admit I only just kind of fast forwarded to it to see their fucking set pieces.
Yeah, but I mean, you would like, honestly, performing. You would.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's like you don't have to, like, I'm not going to go out and watch the Little Mermaid
and be
8
like,
times
my
in a row.
Left foot.
Yeah, I'm mentally drained right now, so we can talk about whatever. The only thing I watched the Neon Genesis Evangelion. We can talk about that.
Did you watch the end of Evangelion?
I did watch the end of Evangelion.
I haven't watched that yet. That's something I actually have never seen.
You've never seen that?
No.
I mean, it makes the entire series. It actually wraps up the entire series.
Because it's the end of Evangelion.
Yeah. There's a big angel that shows up, and there's a lot of blood, and everyone gets turned to goo.
Tang.
Tang, yeah. I guess, is that what they all get turned into? Just Tang?
Just calls it Tang.
Yeah. I mean, I was just watching. I'm like, I get the memes now. That's why. That's what. That's the only reason I watched all this is just to get the memes.
Makes sense.
As people will know, I'm not a huge anime fan, or as I sometimes call it, Japanimation.
I like that. It used to just unironically be called Japanimation.
Yeah. Japanese animation. Japanimation.
Japanimation. It's Afghanistan animation.
Yeah, I get it. I watched it, but I was like, someone's got their head way far up their ass when they wrote this. Like, they're trying to do something here. And as I said too, it's like if someone took like the most cursory read through of Western religion and was like, I get it.
I got it.
I'm gonna make a whole show about this. And I'm just gonna put in all this Western influence. And then there's some guy who's gonna be like, well, no, exactly what he was trying to do is like, nope. Get away, weeb boy.
No, that's pretty common though in a lot of Japanese things. They have like other culture seasoning is a big thing.
Well, yeah, I mean it's like when the Japanese try to put Jesus in something, and it's like they always do something, and it's like, wow, if this wasn't Japan, this would be offensive to the 900th degree.
Whatever, dude. If it has anything to do with Jesus, it's going to offend Christians.
Well, exactly.
The most butthurt demographic in the universe.
But I think most people will go, well,
help, help. We're not oppressed, but we like to act like we are.
But even then, even if they watch it and they're like, this is offensive. Who did this? Oh, it was the Japanese. Never mind.
Yeah, you can't touch them.
Well, you can't be offended by them. The Japanese. Goldfish tending sandal wearers.
I'm a goldfish tending sandal wearer.
I know, you're a weeb.
I actually have goldfish, and I wear sandals
yeah.
And I tend them.
Yes. We're not arguing the fact that you're a weeb.
I love my goldfish.
I finished that up, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm kind of in an anime mood. I'm gonna start up Robotech. I'm gonna watch Robotech all the way through. I got through like three episodes, and I was like, I'm done. I'm done with this.
Robotech's pretty fucked because Robotech itself is like five different shows mashed together.
Yeah.
So it's kind of not really sensical.
I know, but I wanted to watch just to get through. I never actually got through Robotech. I've watched a bunch of episodes like because it used to be on WGN
at
5 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not super familiar with Macross, but I think there's a couple Macross movies you could watch that are just good. Like, they're kind of self-contained.
Does it have Rick Hunter in it?
Yes, but his name's not Rick Hunter. I don't remember what his actual name is.
That was the thing that bothered me about Evangelion. It's that they went through all this trouble with the dubbing, and they still leave everybody with these crazy Japanese names so that I don't remember them. Because I'm like, this is Yamadocho, and this is Yamaguchi.
Shinji, Rei, and Asuka is not that hard to remember.
It's dumb. They're dumb names. I don't care. Like, call them Bob and Sue.
You're such a Lloyd.
just Jim. Jim's gonna get inside of his robot.
You're a fan of the four kids style where they're like they're clearly eating like an onigiri and they're like, how's that donut, Billy?
Exactly. I'm fine with it. Just the thing is like you westernize it by adding the dub, but yet you leave the people's names. I'm just like, who cares? What do you even do?
I got hamburgers and it's just a plate of sushi.
Yeah. It's like, well, just take it to the next step. Like, it doesn't have to be Tokyo 3. It could be Cincinnati 3. I don't give a fuck.
So you're a fan of the four kids style?
Yeah, yeah. It's a we're the Evangelion base in Cleveland.
Well, luckily, you're the one out of a thousand who wants that.
Well, of course, at this point, it's not even worth it because there'd be so many people who are like, no, the Shinji memes don't make any sense anymore.
That's also true. You can't just give them a new name because then how are you gonna be able to have your dank Shinji memes?
Your dank Shinji memes.
Your dank Shinji memes.
Yeah, that was my problem. So that's why I like Robotech. I liked it right off the bat. They named the guy Rick Hunter. Beef Manfist.
Beef Manfist.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'm the best pilot ever. Huck me didn't come back to Dad's flying show. It's like, what? Why would he do that? This is stupid. It's gonna press the button and turn to get the put it in B formation and then gets legs. It's like
also has arms.
Yeah,
arms come down as legs because it's the urban operation.
Yeah,
one.
I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Remember when they put out a Robotech minis game?
Don't know. Never heard of it.
where each of the figures had like 8 bajillion pieces.
That never happened. It was a fever dream.
Oh God! You know, some people still like swear by that. They love those Those figures.
Talisman's coming back.
Talisman's coming back?
Yeah, that's a big that's some big news. Talisman 4th edition is being because you know Fantasy Flight, they lost all the GW licenses.
Yeah. But they still have Descent though.
Descent's not a GW property.
Yeah, I know.
Descent's that's Fantasy Flight. That's in their
Oh, that's not. And I'm
RuneQuest universe, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of what's it called? Warhammer Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Not Talisman.
Yeah, no. So Talisman's coming back from Penguin Publishing, I think. But they're publishing all the 4th edition shit again. So, like, it's been out of print for quite some time. Like, we're talking approaching $200 for a base set and, like, over $100 for every one of the expansions. So they're about to come back and be regular price again. So
I have
that's
my,
big news.
I have my original 1st edition Talisman at home. I'm just like, I'm not going to play with it. I got my original Talisman. That's all I need.
The only way to expand HeroQuest is with more copies of HeroQuest.
With more copies of HeroQuest.
That's the best expansion. It's like look at the muscularity.
what's the 40K one?
Shadows something. Penetrating the anus.
Penetrating the anus of the shadows.
Yes.
Something like that. That was a good game. I played that a couple times.
Blackstone Fortress.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you mean the board game Relic?
Yeah, Relic.
Yeah, that was 40K Talisman.
Yeah. I like that game.
Talisman.
That game was decent.
That'll probably be back again, too.
I didn't like the busts. Like, all the heroes were busts instead of figures. I'm like, no. We don't do that in 40K. We don't do that. We want figures.
Just you being. I want to. You know what? You should do a YouTube show just like Dice Tower or the Tolarian Professor and like all the ones. And it's just you being like righteously indignant about just stupid shit like
stupid
that.
Shit.
Like
Steve. That's why I have this podcast. Like, we righteously indignant.
But it would
we both are righteously.
But
indignant.
It would be funnier if you had your visual aid. Like be like, oh, what's this? Warhammer Relic. What an exciting like you have to you have to play it off as like you're like it's something you've never seen before.
Unbox
you're like,
it.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, what an exciting game. And like you like open it up and you just like drop the lid and just like drop your arms to your side and just like turn beet red and you're just like, what the fuck is this? We don't do this.
It's like my own InfoWars where
yeah,
I'm like,
yes, yes.
These busts are turning our figures gay.
Yes. Yes. You need to do InfoWars.
But for gaming?
Yes. Gaming wars.
Yeah.
And
but mine's like the opposite of InfoWars where I'm like, there needs to be more gay characters in 40K.
It should be 40K.
It should be 40K. I'm tired of all these straight people in my media. And I do feel that way. I want Warhammer 40K to be like super LGBTQ plus all the way around.
I mean, I'm completely supportive of that simply because
it would troll so many people.
Many of the 40K fans.
I would be so happy.
I got a 40K guy really mad when I called Space Marines incels.
They're not incels.
Their dicks don't work. They're incels.
That's not an incel.
Bruh. If you want to bang and you can't bang, you're an incel.
But they don't want to bang.
Oh, they want to bang.
They just
they don't want to bang the Emperor, but they can't.
Well, that's different, though. Who doesn't want to bang the Emperor? Or Angel Boy, or sweet, sweet Angel Boy, Sanguinius.
Sanguinus. Reboot Ghouli Man.
Yeah, everyone just wants to have sex with the Primarchs.
They can't, so yeah. They're incels.
Yeah, well, we don't know that they can't.
It's canon that they can't, except for the White Scars. The White Scars fuck. They're the only ones that
do. I have
do.
Never seen anything which describes a Space Marine, which, hey, Aaron Dubensky Brown, if you're listening to this, or Dan Abnett, and you want to write a scene in a book where you see a Space Marine like looking at his junk going, come on, get hard, come on, get hard, I'd read it. I would do the audiobook.
There's another one. I believe the Iron Hands.
Yeah.
They might have las guns for dicks.
Ooh, well, that's different.
Yeah. So I
wouldn't want that?
I wanted to make sure to like I because you know I fring, pointed out the White fring, Scars they fring. Bang, the White Scars fuck. Jock D. Khan, he fucks. I wanted to make sure that they were in there, but also I want to point out the Iron Hands. They have las guns for dicks.
Yeah, I mean, well, that just makes sense,
right?
Like in lore.
Yes, going by the lore.
Going by the lore.
The lore. Good times.
And that's like a funny thing with 40K is like when you try and make out the lore, like you go to like, you read like Lexicanum or anything like that, and you're like, okay, I understand this, and you're like, wait a second, none of this makes sense when you actually look at it in like a chronological order or anything like this. This is all nonsense. They don't know what they're doing.
It's all it's pulp. Like, it's not like, people take it a lot more seriously than it is, but it's just pulp.
The problem is like with any media that's ever existed, once it became popular, they realized like, oh shit, all of this stuff has to fit into this universe in a way that we never intended it for it to fit together, so we have to like make it all work.
I'm a big fan of just saying fuck it and just doing what you're doing.
I'm a bigger fan of nuking it and then just starting over.
Well, that's fine too, but I mean, I'm like, fuck it. Like, oh, but in this book written in 1983, this character slightly contradicts the thing you had him do in this book, and I'd just be like, I don't fucking care. Or like, shut up, nerd.
Shut up, nerd.
Yeah. Like, maybe the response to some of these things just needs to be shut up, nerd. Like, did you like the book I wrote? Okay, cool. Did the fact that you had to like look up something that you didn't actually know offhand, you went to look for contradictions because you're a fucking chungus. Like,
this is a Ziggy comic. Yeah,
does
this is a Ziggy archives. Yeah,
does that increase your enjoyment of the media? Because if it does, that's great. You can look for more loopholes later. Like, you know, I don't mind people going like, that's contradictory. If like, what is the stated goal of your piece of entertainment?
Yeah.
Like, am I supposed to be making a tightly written, very sequential story in six parts? If that's the case, and I'm dropping the ball like that, and like, oh yeah, shit, that fucking character who was really important in halfway through episode one, I forgot about him. Like, he's just not in the rest of the book because I forgot he existed.
Are you talking about Jar Jar?
No, no one forgets Jar Jar.
What about Captain Panaka?
Who's Captain Panaka?
Exactly. Or Rick Ole.
Rick Ole. No,
you just said episode one, so that's what I'm teaming up episode
one. Yeah. But that's what I mean. It's just like, you know, there's difference. But expecting... especially when it's something like 40K, and that's the thing too. Like, you're going to be calling out writer B for what writer X did 20 fucking years ago, and it's like that doesn't work. Like, yeah. When you have a mythos to that point where like a bunch of people are writing for it,
yeah,
contradictions and inaccuracies are going to fucking come together. Like, it's
that's
just,
what I say.
That's
like,
how it works.
Black Library should just hire me on as their editor. And I'll be I could totally be that like conspiracy guy who's got like all the papers up on his walls with like lines connecting
the
them.
The yarn and the pins. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm just like, no, you can't do that, Dan Abnett, because this has already been established in this universe.
It's established canon that the last canon sound is Freem. You cannot use any other sound to describe the last canon.
Maybe Blat. But
Blat can be used to describe the impact of the Las Blast onto an item or a person. However, it cannot be used to describe the sound of the actual beam.
I would be J. Jonah Jameson of that. You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Give me pictures of Sanguinius. I want pictures of Sanguinius.
I need pictures of the Emperor.
Yes, Mr. JJ.
He's a menace.
He's a menace. I need poems about the Emperor.
Did you see Far From Home?
No.
It's good.
I haven't even seen the first Spider-Man.
Oh, it's Homecoming's good. Far From Home. Well, you'd like Homecoming because the Michael Keaton performance is
Michael
very,
Keaton's
very good.
Cool.
Yeah. And in this one, every performance is just as good. Jake Gyllenhaal is incredibly great as Mysterio. He's like the best Mysterio I've ever seen.
Sweet.
And like,
isn't
I haven't
he the only Mysterio you've ever seen?
Well, I mean, cartoons and everything like
oh,
that.
Oh, right. Well, the only cartoon one was the one from the Fox show, and that show was fucking, like, I actually went back and like watched some of the old, like, so I went back and I watched some of the old episodes of Batman because I bought the Batman
the animated series
Blu-ray,
yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, this show is better than I remember it. Like, that show is incredible. Like,
yeah.
Very, very fucking good. I haven't gotten all the way through it. I'm sure it falls off towards the end where they start mushing them together with more Robin and more Superman stuff. That's probably true, but...
They don't. They're still really good.
So there you go. So, like, that show is fucking impressive, and I remember loving it as a kid. I also remember loving Spider-Man and X-Men as a kid, and I went back and I watched some.
I'll still stick by that X-Men though. That was the best fucking designs ever on that show.
Though they use the
Jim Lee designs.
Yeah, the Super 90s ones,
yeah.
Where everyone's in the yellow and blue.
It fucking rocks.
They do look really cool.
Yeah.
But like the Spider-Man, that show is fucking awful. Like, yeah. The Spider-Man show is fucking atrocious. Like, it's so bad.
It's slow-paced. It has terrible voice. That's the voice acting.
The voices are all pretty bad. Yeah. Like, Peter is fine. Yeah. But, like, many of the other voices are bad. But, like, it's fucking bad. Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, this show did not age well.
It's like the main villain is Tombstone for half of it. And you're just like, who gives a fuck about Tombstone? I want to see Spider-Man. Give me pictures of Spider-Man.
Pictures of Spider-Man.
J. Jonah's got the little Hitler mustache, which
I do like that. J. Jonah with the little push broom.
I will always stand by J. Jonah Jameson as the greatest Spider-Man villain of all time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wouldn't disagree. Who disagrees with that?
Some people.
Maybe they disagree with coining him as a villain, because he's definitely the greatest Spider-Man antagonist.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't say he's 100... You can't really classify him 100% as a villain, per se, because when you say villain in comic sense, they're like, I'm going to smash open this window and take your things!
His portrayal in the Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi movies, is goddamn genius.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
It was one of the best things about the Sam Raimi movies.
That's part of the things that I love about Far From Home, is that I love that Marvel fucks with Sony's Spider-Man IP so much, because technically, Spider-Man is put out by Sony. Marvel just... Sony fits the whole bill. They do everything. Marvel basically just writes the story and makes sure that it fits in continuity, and they quality check it, which is good, because that's what Marvel should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they put it out there, and they, like, everything that Sony wants to do, like, put in Green Goblin! Put in the Green Goblin! Put in the Green Goblin!
It's gotta be Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking of a scientist myself.
Yeah. And that, like, everything that makes... That was all about Spider-Man in, like, the previous... five movies, they're just like, we're not even touching. He's still in high school at this point. The first Spider-Man movie, he was out of high school in the first 20 minutes of that movie. And then in the other Spider-Man movies, I don't even think he went to high school.
No, there was like no, like, after the first movie, they really didn't do any, like, Peter outside of him and Mary Jane.
Even the Amazing Spider-Man, the one with Andrew Garfield, I don't even think he was in high school. Yeah,
I heard they were really bad, so I didn't bother.
The first one was okay. The second one was a slog. But the you're watching he doesn't do any of the photography stuff. He doesn't give two shits about that. It's all, like, super tied into the Marvel universe, so you don't get any of that, like, Uncle Ben shit or any of that stuff. And you get really hot Aunt May, which I'm still having conflicting issues about.
Why is there conflicting issues? Marissa Tomei's hot.
I know. But I'm just saying, Aunt May shouldn't be hot. Aunt May should make me wheat cakes.
I think all the Aunt Mays are hot. Thank you.
Look, well,
you have Aunt May go from a G MILF to a MILF. It's the same. It's, you know.
Okay. I am not kink shaming you.
After this slamming, I could make you a big stack of wheat cakes, Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, not Peter. That would be incest and weird. I was talking about me slamming Aunt May.
Well, only if it's his step nephew or her step nephew.
Yeah. See, I'm slamming Aunt May while looking at Peter.
Step aunt.
Like, see that, well, there is that story arc where Doc Ock courts on
oh yeah, there. It's classic.
And it's I believe it's like 100% still canon, and like they almost get married.
Yeah.
And like when Doc Ock is going to like reform, like he lives with Aunt May for a while.
Oh yeah, it's a classic storyline. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all that shit. I love Doc Ock.
Doc Ock's got a dad bod.
He's got a dad bod.
He does. Doc Ock has a dad bod.
Yeah, he's a
Alfred Molina was a fantastic Doc Ock.
Yeah, I still stand by. I say Spider-Man 1 better than Spider-Man 2. And a lot of people will disagree with me on that, but
I mean,
Spider-Man 2 is a little too bloated.
This all comes back to what are your personal film metrics? Like, yeah. That's solid. Because, like, I believe that Alfred Molina's performance and the Doc Ock segments of 2 are better than anything in 1. But does that make the whole film superior?
No. Rewatch all of the Willem Dafoe stuff in Spider-Man 1. Infinitely better than the Alfred Molina stuff.
I love the Willem Dafoe stuff, but I don't think I like it for the right reasons.
It doesn't matter.
I'm a scientist myself.
It does not matter. Yeah. It is fucking Willem
Dafoe,
genius.
Willem Dafoe is great. The biggest
crime. How are you going to disparage Bonesaw?
Yeah,
I got you for 2 minutes.
Your boyfriend make that suit for you? Well, maybe he did, Bonesaw. Maybe he took his time to sew this for me and gave it to me. You know, just because you're trying to disparage me, look, you're on the wrong side of history here,
you're
Bonesaw.
You're on the wrong side of history, Bonesaw.
So, like, the biggest crime I think the Raimi movies did, and this was a trend that is in a lot of the superhero movies in general, is like they kill the villain.
Yeah.
Like every time. And it's like you I can get like killing a one off or like a villain that can return in a different, like we'll say Ultron is a good example. I think Age of Ultron is a shitty movie, but James Spaderbot being destroyed in that film doesn't particularly matter because Ultron could come back as another.
Yeah.
He's a robot. Like he comes back. But like when you kill Doc, like killing the Green Goblin in the first movie he's introduced and then having got Doc Ock and then killing Doc Ock, like you take one of the, like one of the best things about Spider-Man was his, when his villains would team up, the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Like, well, you even just like shitty team ups, like the Shocker and Electro.
Ooh.
Like there, that was the whole thing with like, with the, in Batman too. It's just like, they always kill Batman's villains. And like Batman's villains make, like some of the best stories are when they team up because you get interesting counterplay between the villains.
Except they don't kill the Joker, but he died off screen.
Didn't they say that he was in Arkham? I think but he's not dead.
No, he's not dead. But that's the funny thing is like he's not dead, but then he died.
Yeah. Well, the actor died. But like the, you know, one of the things that makes Batman, some of the Batman stories so excellent is having the like very different villains try to work together to be Batman and having their weird personalities clash off each other or have them like be like really tight, like the whole like Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, like where they become an item and like they're dating and shit. Like that's cool because that's unexpected. It's like, oh, that's interesting, because like I wouldn't know how those characters would interact, and you see it and you're like, all right, that
but you
out.
Could do that in something that's a little more episodic, like a movie. It's hard because movies don't,
I understand, don't do it in a film. But the thing is when you kill the villain at the very end, you delete the capacity to do that.
But
you know what did it right? Fucking Shazam.
Well, but here's the thing. This was the year
I love that
2001
movie.
That Spider-Man comes out.
Right. I'm not.
And you're like, well, this. Well, I mean,
during that time period, it makes more sense because they're not trying to build.
They never did
empires.
Yeah. I think the only movies that were filmed back-to-back at that point was The Three Musketeers and The Return of the Musketeers, and Back to the Future 2 and 3 were the only movies
that
were...
And The Lord of the Rings.
Not even... Well, I mean, they were filming them at that point.
Yeah.
But that was the... That was, like, what... They never even thought about maybe there'll be a Spider-Man 2.
But it's still just odd that, like the whole point of comics is like the villains return. Like they always return.
But they don't, movies weren't thought of as comic books until Marvel actually started doing that. And even then, it didn't really click until like after Avengers happened. It took a long time for people to go like, wait a second, these are like comic books. Well, no shit. You know? And then they're able to do more stuff with that. So you'll have people like Loki keeps returning. The X-Men actually did that with Magneto. Magneto was never killed off in the movies.
Yes, they did. And then you have one. Yeah, and you can like kill like the ancillary scrub villains, like Storm totally kills the shit out of Toad. Sure, there's that. Like that's fine. Yeah. You know, you gotta there needs to be a balance. So like taking the Green Goblin out immediately, like he should have been in jail. Plus, I wanted to see Willem Dafoe like in chains, like in his cell,
Peter.
Just fucking like wigging out. Yeah. Hey, Peter,
how you doing,
Peter? I fucking love Willem Dafoe.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's great.
Great in John Wick too.
What's he doing? He's doing something. Oh, he did the Van Gogh movie. That's what he did. But the
he was the I would say unarguably only good part of the Death Note movie.
There's a Death Note movie?
There's a live-action Netflix Death Note movie, and Willem Dafoe plays the demon, the death demon, Ryuk, and he's really good.
he could play Shinji's father.
Actually, yeah, he totally could.
Yeah,
and Gendo Ikari? He absolutely could.
No, we're going to call him Jerry.
Jerry. Wait, no. Jerry. Can we still call him Ikari? So he's Jerry Ikari?
No, he'd be Jerry Harris.
No. So you got to do the shittiest
How about this? His name would be Jerry Hamfist.
Jerry Hamfist. All right, fair enough. We're good.
Rick Hunter.
Rick Hunter. They're all just named Rick Hunter.
Yes, Rick.
You've got it, Mr. Hunter. Like everyone's just Rick
exactly.
Hunter.
Exactly. See, now right. You're getting it. Yeah. Now you're
well,
getting it.
I mean, we do need to accept your ability to remember their names, and Rick Hunter's a memorable name.
It's a really.
And
I will.
we have Rick Hunter.
The only reason why I remember the name of no one else in Evangelion. I literally watched it last week as I was texting you.
The names aren't that hard.
I only remember Shinji.
Shinji, Misato.
Nope.
Asuka.
Nope.
Rei.
Nope.
Like, it's not that hard.
I remember Rei because that's like easy. That's a real easy one to remember.
Or Asuka Langley.
Nope.
That's ridiculous. there's a few that's rough because there's any of the like drama ones are harder for me because the character they don't do the key design differences for characters. So it's like they all look like Japanese girls and Japanese boys, so they all have brown hair and brown eyes or black hair and black eyes. So it's like, fuck, I don't know which characters are talking right now.
One of the things I did appreciate in Evangelion, getting back to that, was that I did appreciate the psychosexual nature of, like, the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they actually went into it like, oh, this is really, really, like, fucked up. Yeah, Everything about this is
unacceptable.
Fucked up. I was just like, he wants to have sex with his mother. Okay, I could get this. I can understand.
There's some Oedipal action.
Yeah, there's this. And then, like, this chick is, like, way older than him, and she wants to have sex with him. This is bizarre.
It's fucking weird.
All right, I'm okay with this.
It's good stuff.
It's all really forced. It doesn't make any sense, but whatever. Let's take it to some strange new places. I'm down.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. Oh, man. But, yeah, I couldn't remember any of their names. Like, as soon as it was done, I was just like, I don't remember. I remember Shinji just because I remember the Shinji memes. I've known Shinji memes for it. Get in the fucking robot, Shinji.
Your dad loves you. Get in the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Names are names.
We're going to turn everybody into Tang.
I find it easier to remember fictional characters' names than real characters' names. The only exception being The Lord of the Rings. It's some of the more obscure, or not even necessarily obscure, but like elven names are rough.
Really?
Because they're very well. Because like obviously I know like Celebrimbor and Celebron and like there's
if
several.
You, if,
but
yeah, if you get back into Silmarillion, it can get a little rough.
Right. Because that's what I mean. Not in the Lord of the Rings.
I was
going
to say in the Lord of the Rings itself, there's like only like six named elves.
There's only a few. They're easy to remember. Yeah. But when you get into like the heavy elf content where their names are all similar, because it's like this is this dude's son and then their son and like they all have like same parts of the same name. Yeah. And it's just like, wait, was that Celebrimbor? No, Celebron. It's Celebron. Yeah. Yeah. Celebrimbor, but Celebrimbor is also an elf. Yeah. So it's like, fuck. So yeah, that gets pretty rough. But other than that, I'm usually pretty solid with fictional names.
I still think Tolkien would be horrified if he knew that they published the Silmarillion.
You think so?
I think he'd be mortified that got published. He'd just be like, or any of the stuff that's been published posthumously would just be like, he'd be like, holy fuck, you guys should not have done that. That was not ready to be published.
I like the Silmarillion.
I mean, I do too, but I don't.
It's not a story. It's just the only other complete, from what I understand, the only other complete story that he wrote was The Children of Húrin,
mm-hmm.
which is a complete story.
And it's not even really that complete because he never intended it for it to be published.
But it has a beginning, middle, end.
Yeah.
Like, it is a complete story. The Silmarillion is like lore. So it's, I don't think it's, well, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about that, but like I think it's like if someone printed an appendices of my work, I probably wouldn't be like, eh, as long as they presented it properly.
It's like if you died and I discovered all of your like hentai writings that you like keep, or maybe that you don't.
If they're not a coherent story, don't publish them as a story.
Well, that's the thing.
But
is
you
like,
can publish them as an
I
appendices.
I found your incoherent hentai writings.
My lemons.
Your lemons. And I was like, I'm gonna publish this, and then your ghost is like, no.
Well, I'd wait to see how you did it. If you did it,
and
as
you come
the
back in kabuki form crying.
Yeah. If you did it as the appendices, then we'd be okay. If you tried to do it as a story, I would not be happy.
Well, that's exactly it.
Because I mean, the Silmarillion is not a complete story. It's just a bunch of like lore bits, which is cool, and that's sweet. I like that
lore
it expands
bits.
The world, but it's not. It's not something you should say like, yes, this is a fucking read beginning to end. It's going to be a great story.
I mean, it's the Bible. That's all it
is.
Yeah.
It's a Bible.
It's a Bible.
It's a Bible.
What about all the dwarf names? Can you remember all the dwarf names?
Nori, Snorri, Dory, Gory, Bory.
Cory.
Cory. let me see. So there's Balin, Dwalin, Biffer, Boffer, Gloin, Nori, Dory. Bomber, Thorin. Did I say Balin yet?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the first one we said.
And then there's...
You got to see, the problem is you're doing them out of the rhyme. That's the problem.
Yes. Yes. But I'm too far out. I'm too deep. Yeah. I'm in too deep.
You forgot Owen.
Oin.
Oin? O-I-N.
Oin. Yeah, I never would have remembered that. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's almost it. It's almost it. It's almost all of them.
It's almost all of them.
There's one I'm missing because there's 11.
Dane. You're missing Dane.
Dane. No, Dane's not one of the doors. No, he's not one of the company. Yeah. He's not one of Thorne's company. I got Dane.
I got Dane.
My friend's name is Dane.
You forgot Feely and Keely as well.
Feely and Keely. That's who I forgot.
Yeah.
How could I forget Feely and Keely? How could I forget the hot dwarves?
The hot dwarves. There is Thorin, Balin, Glowin, Owen, Keely, Dwalin, Feely, Ori, Bofur, Bomber, Dory, Beefer, and Nori.
Beefer.
He's the one with the X in the head.
I think it's Biffer. I did say Biffer.
I don't know. Beefer.
I think it's Biffer. I said Biffer. I didn't forget him. So yeah, I only forgot a few, which isn't bad because I haven't seen The Hobbit or read The Hobbit in some time. Yeah. I do need to. Dane. But Dane's not part of Thorin's company.
Doesn't matter. He's named Dwarf.
I didn't forget Dane. Nobody forgets Dane. Dane's easy to remember. He's Dane. Oh yeah, of course Gimli. Yeah, but again, I was naming Thorin's company. Yeah. Because then if you wanted to go all the named dwarves, you'd have to do Dane. You have to do. Thorin's father and grandfather. And
which
then,
are, God, I can't remember what their names are right now off the top of my head. God. As I say, my brain has been melted.
It's hard to remember.
I literally go to bed every night singing Disney songs from Little Mermaid. Like, I have to sometimes take anti-anxiety medicine. Not because I have anxiety, but just so my brain shuts down and I don't think about Disney songs. It's mind-numbing. I would be okay with Lion King songs, but this is the Little Mermaid, so it's all like
there's only one song that matters in the Little Mermaid, and it's the song that Renee Auberjonis sings while he's cooking the crab. Yes, that's the only song that matters, which is fucking hilarious.
Odo.
Note about Renee Auberjonis and that song. When I was at the Star Trek convention a few years ago, Renee Auberjonis was doing his Q&A, and someone brought up the Little Mermaid. And they were like, "Hey, you know, like they were just like, hey, that was really cool. It was really neat to hear your voice. And it was cool to sing." And he's like, "Oh, thanks." He's like, "I really like doing it." And then he just sang the fucking song like into his head. I was just like, "Wow, he just fucking sang the entirety of Le Poisson." I was like, "This is awesome." So that was really cool.
What is this? I have missed one.
Yeah. So it was really cool. That convention. The thing that was like, those Q&As were incredibly fun. They sucked when some fucking mouth breathing dweebus asked them about Star Trek, but anytime someone asked them a question that didn't have to do with Star Trek, anything that happened on that stage was fucking gold. Like, so good. Like, it was amazing. I loved hearing their, like, random-ass stories. Or, like, about the other actors or, like, bolt, like grab-assery on set, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That I very much liked hearing. Because, like, it was so dumb, like, when someone would be like... The one thing that was really good about Jeffrey Combs, he's like, "I liked all the characters I played. I don't have a favorite. All right, can we go with questions?" he nailed the common, like, "What was your favorite?" You know, like every time that was like the questions, like
in the episode Measure of a Man, Jordy, you punch in the key combination of 18884 to operate the nacelles. But then in that very same episode, six scenes later, you use that same key combination and it takes care of the warp factor. Which one is it?
It's both. Listen, nerd.
Wizard did it.
Like I want to have like, you know, someone get a swivel chair and they just like kind of swivel to the side and like stick both their feet up on their desk and they're just like, "Listen, nerd."
That's why you and I will play admiral someday in the Star Trek universe. That is my goal. We need to get like a fan petition to get us to play admirals in the Picard. In the new Picard series that's coming out.
As long as I can be the admiral who doesn't do anything positive or negative, but is just like, "I'm sorry, my hands are tied." No. Like, that's who I want to be. I want to be the admiral who wants to help, but can't.
I want to be the young buck admiral who kicks Picard out.
You're the shitty admiral.
I'm the shitty admiral in the new Picard series who's like, "You're too old, Picard.
You're an old man, Picard.
You're an old man. Why don't you go back to your family vineyard? Oh, wait, it burned down."
clearly there's a lot of vineyard going on. I do want to see several episodes that's just Picard tending to his vineyard, like agonizing over which grapes to plant. Like,
well, yeah, I think, like, that would be brilliant. Mm. Like a meditation on wine from Picard.
Like, yeah. I don't think this is the best.
Well, it would be great just to have him, and then you have an episode where Riker comes by and they just sit and have dinner and drink wine and talk about specific things or various goings on meditations on what it is for command and things like that, and that's what I would like to
They're
see.
Pretty cool. Just a very introspective character study.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. I mean, no action involved.
That's literally never going to be the possible.
No.
Like, not even a fucking chance. The dildo who produced the Into Darkness is
No, actually, Michael Chabon is doing the show running on it, so that's pretty good. Yeah, the guy who did Cavalier and Clay and Wonder Boys.
Oh,
and
that's good, because I heard it was Yiddish Richard something. Richard, I don't remember what his name is, but some shitter.
Rick Berman?
Rick Berman. It's not Rick Berman. Rick Berman's dead, isn't he?
Well, it would be a blessing to Star Trek if he was. Yeah, but he is not, I do not believe. That was a terrible thing to say, but whatever.
You did say it would be a blessing to Star Trek, not a blessing to the world. Yeah. So, we'll just slide on that one.
It's a 50%.
We'll let you slide on that one.
No, I would like a very introspective, and seriously, Worf comes in, right? And they talk about the nature of the relationship between the Klingons and the Federation, and mm-hmm. why the relationship is important, why the antagonism is important, why the galaxy needs to have antagonism, why humanity needs to have antagonism to succeed as a species.
Yeah, it'd be dope. That would be fucking awesome. I would love to see that.
Yeah, and all they do is they just walk around, they just talk.
Yeah, and pet his dog.
And they pet his dog.
They absolutely have to pet his dog.
and maybe they do get into, some confrontation. Like, Worf is like, I'm leaving. And then Picard's like, no, spend the night. You're here already. Yeah. And then in the morning they wake up and they talk about why they were angry with
each
other.
Making pancakes.
Yeah. And they talk about why they were angry.
Pouring Worf some prune juice.
And they get, they resolve their conflict. Maybe they're not best friends at the end of it, but they have a better understanding of each other at the end.
I like it.
That's what I want. I'm an old man. I want these old man shows.
It would just be good. Yeah. Well, I think it would be good for Picard as the character. Like, that would be interesting. Because I've seen Jean-Luc Picard go on space adventures.
Yeah.
I've already
watched those movies. They're terrible.
First Contact's pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, even First Contact is a completely out of character thing for Picard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I actually kind of liked that. I felt pretty cool. I'm fucking stumbling over my words. That film had a lot of stuff I felt they left out in the show. Not all the way, but his trauma and his PTSD about the Borg and stuff. Like, that movie had a lot more of it.
Well, that's the stuff that I would want to see in the Picard show, is all of the discussion on PTSD and all the shit, instead of him running around the holodeck with a machine gun shooting down the Borg.
Right, but I mean, they still had those moments in that movie where he was doing things that were completely out of character. And freaking out because the fucking Borg fucked him up. That was such a big thing. And they touched on it a bit in the show, but they didn't really go deep. So it would be excellent to have that in the Picard show.
Even have newer characters, have a young Buck Admiral seek out Picard because he wants to understand the nature of command, or he wants to see how did you fuck up? Because you could have been the head of Starfleet.
Right.
And you ended up, running and being a captain of a ship for your entire
career.
Yeah,
why were you just a captain the whole time?
Yeah. Why didn't you...
He became an admiral at one point, didn't he? Because I think he left the admiralty after...
Was Kirk.
Well, I think...
Kirk lost the role of admiral after...
I think Picard also became an admiral. It's hard for me to keep track because a lot of the lore post-TNG is all from the MMO, which is canon.
Yeah, it's not canon.
It's canon.
They say it's canon. It's not
canon.
Anything that they can willfully ignore and no one says, but what about the video game? And they'll be go away, nerd.
Shut up, nerd.
Shut up, nerd.
Throwing up, feet up on the desk. Listen here, nerd.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's exactly it. It's how many people here played the Star Trek MMO? And maybe five or six people raise their hand and they go, exactly.
I think that MMO's pretty popular. But that besides the point.
No, I will always say, I go, when it comes to that, The only two things that are canon are TV shows and movies with Trek. The books are not canon. The video games are not canon. Nothing else is canon except the TV shows and the movies. And even the movies, they're kind of like, eh.
Sometimes. Like, we're going to count this one. We're not going to count that one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I would like to have, you know, like the young admiral or young captain or someone talking to Picard, like, why did you stay as a captain? And then he could muse on it, and the guy could be like, that's stupid. Like, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's dumb. Why would you do that?
I always think that Star Trek is the perfect example of that, the notion of you get promoted to the position of failure. So, like, you're going to rise until you just can't do the job anymore. Mm. So, for example,
they just shove you up until you implode.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, this guy's, you're a great captain. You're a great captain. We're going to make you an admiral. And that's why all the admirals suck, is because they're all great captains, but terrible admirals.
Well, especially if you consider they were great captains during, like, the more Wild West Kirk era.
Yeah.
Like, those admirals are going to be the worst because they were, like, the most, like, brash, yeah. like, you know, braggadocious people.
We don't have fucking skirmishes with the Klingons in the neutral zone anymore.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
doesn't happen.
Yeah, so they're like they're not necessarily militaristic, but they're closer to like we've all been in, like, because I mean a lot of the original series, like, there wasn't necessarily open war, but there was active hostility at all times.
Yeah.
Like Klingons hostile, Romulans hostile. Like they're like most of the aliens they encounter,
they have cloaking devices.
Most of the aliens
we don't
they
even
encounter
see them
in the original series are all hostile.
It's like that would be like John Bolton nowadays going up and saying, like, the Iranians have cloaking devices. We need to attack them.
Are you sure he hasn't said that?
Yeah, probably. And we're all sitting there going, like, we were alive in 2003. We remember what happened with Iraq and Afghanistan. You can't do this again to us. And he's like, but they have cloaking devices. they're gonna attack us.
Listen here. We're going to pin you down and shave your mustache.
Shave your mustache. And Picard just decides, that'd be another great episode. Picard decides to grow a mustache, and it's just like an hour long of him, like, gradually growing out the mustache.
Just like fucking with it.
Yeah, just fucking with it. Maybe putting a little wax in there, putting a little. I actually get to do that for the show because I've been growing out my mustache for the show. And since I play a butler, I get to tease it up and do the little loopy loops, the little hipster loopy loops. It's fun. I might keep the loopy loops for a little bit. Just have some fun with that over the summer, but. But yeah, just Picard growing out the mustache, maybe looking and going, nah. And at the end of the episode, he just goes, nah, and shaves it off.
Shaves it real quick.
Yeah. That's what I would want to watch. I think that would be brilliant film and brilliant television. It's for fucking CBS All Access. You could do whatever. No one cares.
Yeah, do what you want.
It's Star Trek. People will watch Star Trek. People watch Discovery. It's terrible. People watched it, though.
I haven't seen any Discovery.
Well, exactly, but people have still watched it.
All the reviews of Discovery I've heard are very mixed.
It's... Sorry, I thought I went out for a second.
The audio went weird for a second.
Yeah,
there. Yeah.
But we're okay. We're still recording.
All right, good. Yeah.
But as I say, it's like,
okay, good. We're still going.
Yeah, the reviews I've heard of it are mixed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just it. It's like the problem is it's too action oriented. And what I want, and what you want, and because we're old men, is we want very introspective Trek. We want Measure of a Man. We don't need.
I mean, I like action as well, but it doesn't need to be all action.
Yeah, we don't want The Chase. We want Measure of a Man. We want I'm trying to think of the other, like, big
or like the episode with Sisko where he basically commits treason to start that war.
Oh yeah. Something of the Light, Dying of the Light.
Yeah,
something
which
like
is
that.
Like an incredible episode.
Symphony of the Night.
It has action. It has plenty of action in it, but it also has tied with that action, like, taught character.
That's Jeffrey
drama.
Combs, right? No, Jeffrey Combs is not. That's a different guy. Jeffrey Combs plays the Weyoun.
Yeah, Weyoun.
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 Yeah. It's a fake! And then they blow a ship up.
Yes, yeah. So, like,
that's a dark episode.
Yes, but there's action in the episode, but it's also a lot of heavy character drama. Yeah. I'm totally cool with that. The problem is the trend, and this is kind of just the trend in media, is they're going for empty action. Yeah. Like, there's all, it's like,
flying through space debris and
right, it's like, yeah. It's like, how many beams can we shoot? Like, we don't care about anything after it. Like the whole point. Like
it's like, but then there's people who do it amazing, like the end of the Orville season 2, where you're like, holy fuck!
Yeah.
What the hell is going on in this comedy show?
Yes, the Orville was excellent. They did a really good job. Like,
and you're like, this is not just a Star Trek parody. This is excellent sci-fi.
Yeah, it's good sci-fi. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you don't have to. And it's a comedy show. There's fucking dick jokes.
Elements of comedy, which is
like,
great.
There's tons of dick jokes. There's brevity. There's action. That show, the Orville is excellent. If you're not watching the Orville, you should watch the Orville.
Especially,
if you like Star Trek,
especially season two. Holy shit,
yes,
season two is
season
amazing.
Two is incredible. But season one was very good. Season two is way better. And I liked season one a lot. But that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Like, you don't have to have emptiness to the action. Mm-hmm. There can be, good, like, great writing can come out of that. Like, I'll use one of the best examples, I think, for sci-fi. There's a Gundam series called War in the Pocket.
Hold on one sec. Sorry about that. I had to pee really bad.
We have been restored.
Joe needs blue mana.
The Gundam series, War in the Pocket, like, that's one of the most, like, acclaimed Gundam series there is, and there's barely any Gundam fighting in it. Because it's about a small colony on the outskirts of, like, the main battle, and it's like the fallout between, like, all these little skirmishes between each side, and there's it's character driven. There is some action, but there's also, like, consequences to said action.
Do they have normal American names, or do they have Japanese names? Are their names Rick Hunter?
Gundam? I'm trying to think. Gundam has weird names. Gundam doesn't have Japanese names, because Gundam has, like, some of their names are Japanese, but some of them aren't. Like, one of the most famous characters is Char Aznable. Like, that's not a Japanese name. It's just they're space names.
They're space names.
They have space names. Like the,
like Star Wars?
Yeah, like Star Wars.
C.O. Bibble?
C.O. Bibble. they're just gobbledygook.
They're gobbledygook.
Yeah, they have space names.
Rick Olay.
Banager Lynx. That's a Gundam pilot name.
Yeah, those are all Star Wars names. Those are Star Wars gobbledygook
names. Yeah. Banager Lynx, Chara's Novel.
Are you excited? I never asked you. Are you excited about the Emperor returning for the new Star Wars movie?
I mean, are they going with the Emperor clone storyline?
I don't care what they're going with. I just want to see Ian McDiarmid doing, like, absolute power.
Ian McDiarmid is pretty good.
It's the only part of the prequels I like, is like how he ham-fisted that up much.
He was definitely
help me, Anakin, help me.
I'll be watching your career with great interest.
yeah, it's classic.
So. It's treason, then.
I was actually about with Gundam. I was on the 4th. I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he's a big Gundam. He loves doing Gundams. And I was like, have you watched the new Evangelion? And he's like, no, I'm not a big fan, and I don't like anime. I'm like, but you're a huge Gundam fan. He's like, yeah, I just like Gundam. I'm like, so you never watched, like, Robotech? And he's like, nah. I'm like, dude. Robotech, like, he's obsessed with World War II, and I'm just like, Robotech is World War II in space. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And he's just like, nah, I'm never into it. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, man. It's like, he's really into Gundam, though. And
I mean, they're cool robots. You don't have to be into the anime to like Gundam. Like, you might just like cool fucking robots.
I don't know. I was like, if you're gonna get into it, might as well, go whole hog.
Well, usually, if people get into Gundam from the plastic kits, they get interested enough to go, like, maybe I should watch this show.
Yeah. I mean, I just
usually,
like, it's just like people who are, like, really into the Confederate flag. Like, maybe I should read about history.
I actually fucking dunked on someone online with the Confederate flag. I've never been more proud of a fucking dunk in my life, but, it was, some chuds were arguing, a classic Civil War argument. One of them was like, it was about states' rights. And I just replied, and I was just like, states' rights to do what? And it was just like, oh, he didn't have a response.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, it was about states' rights.
States' rights to own slaves.
To own people.
Yeah. To own human beings.
I felt really good about that. I was just like, I felt like that was a swish.
That is a solid argument.
Yeah, it's just like, you have been shut down, confetti boy.
Stupid centrists. We've got to look at both sides of the argument.
If you've got a Confederate flag, you are not a centrist.
Well, no, it's about heritage, not hate, Steve.
It's about a heritage of hate.
I got to talk about just a couple gaming things before we go. Conquest got released.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the last argument of kings.
The last argument of kings. That's a game Steve and I have been talking about for a while since the
Parabellum.
Yeah, from Parabellum, since the last Adepticon, they've been putting their stuff out, kind of showing it. It's great stuff. The mini, it's not an expensive game.
No, it's super cheap.
If you if you're into a ranked file game, that is a good one to get into.
Yeah, I recommend it if you're looking for a rank and file gameplay with really cool models and not done in like a douchey Kickstarter way.
No, and there's a lot of stuff already available for it. Mm-hmm.
This is a classic release. They actually believe in their game. They put money behind it. They showed it at shows. They're releasing it like an actual game,
which is one of the things that you're not going to get. Like, it's my argument against a Song of Ice and Fire game is that Cool Mini or not, is not going to support that game for much longer.
They'll only support it until a Kickstarter fails.
Yeah.
Like, they'll never do a release for that game that isn't on a Kickstarter.
No, they've done...
I think all of that was Kickstarted. I think everything... I'm not 100% sure, but I believe every release for Song of Ice and Fire has some sort of Kickstarter relation to it.
Maybe it does. But the... yeah, they've done the Night Watch now and what's it called? The Free Folk.
The Folk of the Free!
They have those releases, so who knows where they're going to go with it. I do not have faith that Fantasy Flight and that Cool Mini or not will ever support a game long term.
No, absolutely not. their games are all, I'd say they're cash grabs, but not necessarily that. They're like they're there to sell for like they want to sell one wave and then never touch it again.
Yeah,
look at what the fuck is that one with the circle bases. Kings.
Wrath of
Kings. Look at Wrath of Kings.
Yeah.
You want to see how Cool Mini or not supports games? Look at Wrath of Kings.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So I mean, it this game looks like it could be supported very well, and it's a good alternative to Kings of War, which is still a good game, but Kings of War is just a very, very simplified version of Warhammer Fantasy.
Yeah. Missing the thing that made Warhammer Fantasy the better game, which was combat resolution.
Yeah,
although there is a new edition of Kings of War on the horizon.
It's a very, very simplified version of Warhammer. This looks like a completely different.
Yeah, it's its own thing.
Yeah,
it's its own rank and file. It's just like David S. Pumpkins. It's its own thing.
Also, speaking of Kings of War, they're doing a Kings of War role playing game now. The RPG is coming out. I didn't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucking RPGs coming out.
Yeah.
There's like a mini RPG renaissance happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know where they're finding all these people to buy and or play these RPGs.
Well, I think the production costs versus how much you need to sell to turn a profit with an RPG is pretty low in terms of tabletop. And there's like, I think there's a lot of people willing to try games. I think that's what it is. Like,
yeah,
people, because D&D's fun, but like you get sick of it after a while. I definitely feel the limitations of the D&D system if you just play it by the book. I'm starting to think that there's maybe some, like, for example, one of the rules adjusts I want to try next time I run D&D is I want to do every attack has advantage. So in D&D 5th edition, they added a concept called advantage disadvantage, which is when you have advantage, you roll 2d20s and you choose the highest because that gives you a better odds of success. And then when you have disadvantage, you roll 2d20s and you choose the lowest. So there's still the problem of if taking advantage out, and the reason advantage exists, there's still the problem of you have a 5% chance to fail any dice roll. Additionally, once you factor in the average attack bonuses, so on and so forth, without advantage, most cases you're looking at coin tosses when you're rolling a 20-sided dice. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, especially if there's a long combat and you've got four people playing, like... everyone wants to feel like they're contributing to the fight, and it sucks if like everyone's doing stuff and like when it finally gets, like, say you're like a fighter, right, and there's you're playing with three casters, and it's like the wizard does something cool because it's no dice roll, the cleric does a healing spell, which is cool, and then like the druid like summons a fucking tree or something. It's like, wow, those guys are all doing
and I stand in the back
cool
playing
shit.
My guitar,
and you're like and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna use my broadsword to fucking fuck up this lich, and you roll and you get like a 5. And it's just like, you don't do anything. Like, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So I think what I want to do is I want to introduce a thing where every dice roll has advantage. So you always roll 2d20, choose the highest. And then if you actually have advantage on an attack, you roll 3d20 and choose the highest. So advantage, because advantage already gives you a better odd to critical because you're, because, you know, two dice looking for 20s. So if you have three dice looking for 20s, your critical odds go way up. I think I want to try something like that just to reduce the amount of like, oh, I fail. Cause like it just seems kind of whack. I'm not sure. It's just something I was thinking about. Like, and I think it might just be me just coming to grips with the fact that D20 is an inherently kind of flawed system.
I believe D20 is not a very good system.
Yeah. I think it's just kind of flawed. And D20 is not Thaco. I believe Thaco was just, I think Thaco just solved it.
For me, the main thing I've been seeing, just in like, I don't want a game design or anything, but when I think about game design, the easiest way for me to game design to wrap my head around stuff is using D10s. Tens make way more sense. Sixes are fine. It's just
depending on how you design it, because you can go the wrong way. You can do Burning Wheel, which I like very much, or you can do Shadowrun, which I hate. Shadowrun is like you need 77 D6s on your roll. And then Burning Wheel is like, I think the maximum you'll ever roll for Burning Wheel is like 6.
Yeah, for me, it's like D10 just works out because we have a decimal based system.
Don't you know the decimal system?
We know everything. All of our number systems are based off of 10 numbers. So why should we base any sort of our gaming off of anything other than the 10 number system that we've grown up with and understand? It just makes everything easier to comprehend.
D10s as in like rolling multiple 10-siders or D10s as in like percentile?
Even rolling multiple 10s.
Okay.
It's like everything should just
be... Because I like percentile.
Yeah, percentile works too, but everything works in D10 already. Percentile is just, it's a little too mathy for me. But I'm just saying in terms of like players understanding, like if you roll a 5 or higher, you succeed. If you roll a 5 or under, you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's a 50-50 roll. You understand that and you can make it... You could parse it out like, hey, you know, a 7 is much stronger than a 6. And you could just think about it like, oh, yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, a 7 is higher than a 6. Like, duh. But it just makes more sense in your head in like a primal type of like fish brain sort of way.
Well, I'm a big fan. If you're doing the 50% shots, I think D6s are better because you can roll a good chunk of them and you just look for 4-ups.
Yeah,
because if you're just doing coin tosses.
Yeah. But I'm just saying in that primal part of your brain understands a D10 system much better than a D6 system.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you're not adding the dice together. That's the big thing
for
me.
Yeah.
Like, adding the dice never works.
No.
But if you're looking for target numbers, I think the choice between 10s and 6s, if you're looking for target numbers, should be based on what your game design is.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you don't need to do fucking 10-siders for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
Because it gives you the number you're trying to roll.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, for mini games, D10s don't work as well, I think. I mean, there's certain games that it would do well for. I think there's certain historical stuff where you have to, like, look at charts and shit that make more sense to do D10s or D20s or whatever have you.
Well, you see, according to the chart, you're...
you laugh, but that's exactly what fucking happens in fucking historical games.
I wasn't laughing. It makes me sad.
Yeah, but then when you look at like a game like Sigmar, where it's like roll a 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I rolled a 6. Does that count?
Is
it higher
than
a 5?
It does.
Yes. You win, buddy.
Yeah,
you win.
You got it.
You got it.
Yeah, all right. I'm a big fan of cards, actually.
We've talked about that.
Cards are my favorite system. Oh, yeah. I like just the straight up deck of cards, which is why I really like, one of the things I love the most about Malifaux design is they use cards to roll your dice.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is our cards are mostly based off? They're mostly based off a D10 system. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, you have,
as long as you count face cards as 10s.
Well, yeah, as long as you count face cards as 10s, which kind of skews it a bit, but it still makes sense.
Right.
But anyway.
It only messes with percentages. It doesn't mess with your understanding of the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, if you have a D10 system, the brain understands it far better than any other system.
Although, going by review scores for things, I don't know if I can actually agree with that, because there's a whole lot of reviews that are like 8 out of 10. It was okay.
Yeah, that's true.
9.8 out of 10. It was fine. It's like, oh, 7 out of 10, it was god-awful.
It was garbage.
It's like, but wait, a 7 out of 10? Yeah, that's why I try never to use number scoring, it's so tainted.
You know why I believe that it happens? I had this weird pet theory. That's because of American tipping system. Like how we tip. We tip restaurant waitresses and all these different people. Not even if they do their job good. It's just a habit.
So you got to count the 10% always, or the 20% if they're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's like at this point, it's 20% minimum.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, even if their job was shitty, you still kind of feel obligated to do that. I mean, granted, there are people like, you know, the Steve Buscemi who's like, I don't tip. Like, like, we understand that you have your personal beliefs in quotation marks, but these people need to live, right?
There's actually a little bit of a trend in some restaurants happening, which I really like, where they're just not tipping tips anymore.
Yeah.
They're just like, no, we're just paying our workers. Like, yeah. You don't need to tip
anymore. I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, that's...
I like that. No, I'm saying I like that. I think that should be a press forward.
Yes, I think people should be paying living wages, regardless of what they do.
But you telling me $2 an hour plus tip ain't enough to live on? Hey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's...
You can't arrest me. I'm the cake boss.
Like, and I think that's why people say, like, with like video game scores, is like, you have to have that 20% automatically on there. Like, and if they do a great job, you could add it up more. So, like, a 7 out of 10 is, like, the automatic 20%.
Very, very frustrating. Because it makes it impossible to have a discussion. Someone directly asked me, like, what, like, out of 10, how did I rate a game? And I was just like... I don't know, like maybe like a 6 out of 10, and they're like, "Oh, so you didn't like it?" And I'm like, "No, I said a 6 out of 10. That means it's good. That means it's better than average. A 5 is an average
which
item.
Is why we shouldn't let normal people rate anything. Period.
It's just so whack. Just like,
never allow people should never be allowed to review
but it's
things.
Not, but that's not it, that, that's not the zeitgeist of the peons. Yeah. That's the reviewers doing that shit. The reviewers are the ones who are giving the like 8.9 out
but
of 10.
But the internet has given people the ability to call themselves the reviewers. No, they're just peons, Steve. We are peons. That's why we don't review shit on this podcast.
But
we just talk about it.
But they're on checkmarked websites. Yeah. How could they possibly be peons? They're verified.
Yeah. Me and you, we don't review things. We just go.
But we're not verified.
No, we're not verified. We're bona fide.
We're bona fide. We're not verified. Yeah. That's. I mean, I, like, there's like the it's the industry trend, not the trend of people. But that industry trend has seeped down into the collective unconscious. Well, so now when people see a score of like 6 out of 10, they think I didn't like it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? 6 out of 10 means it's better than average, which means I did like it.
Well, I mean, that's what are our bona fides? Fuck you, that's our bona fides.
No, mine is I put my feet up on my desk and go, listen here, nerd.
Listen here, nerd. All right. Go to our Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast. Best way you can get in contact with us, talk with us, look at our memes. That's about all that we do there. So it's a good way to just get in contact with us. You can like our YouTube page. It's another way you can listen to the podcast. I don't understand.
You're trying to get us on Spotify.
Yeah, I'm actually working on that. Nice. Not hard, but I'm working on that. Yeah,
that's good.
The best way you can help with the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes, as long as the iTunes is still around. It might be going away. I don't know.
It's
I don't care. You can also listen to us on Podbean or any of the other...
The Bean!
Any of the other aggregate sites that have us. Next cast is probably going to be a little wonky because it's Gen Con weekend. I'm not going to be gone Gen Con weekend. I'm going to see if we can work it out, like when we can record. I'm just going to be at Gen Con on Thursday, Friday. So if you want to get in contact or with me or just say hi, I'll be wandering around.
You
Thursday,
could video
Friday.
Call me from Gen Con and we could do a really shitty Skype Skype cast.
So, Steve, how are you doing over there in Chicago? So all of a sudden we got David Lee Roth on the podcast.
Da-da.
Zip it up. Zip it up. That's one of my favorite Family Guy bit. It's like a rule of throwaway. It's where they have the Dave Matthews punching bag or a speed bag, and they put it up there, and he's like, dibbity bobbity bibbity bobbity bibbity bobbity. He's like, no, no, this isn't annoying enough. And they put the David Lee Roth up on it, and he's like, zibbity bobbity bibbity bobbity bibbity.
That was like when I liked when they did the dude who does Don't Worry, Be Happy falling down the stairs. He's like,
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin. That's right. This is better than time I saw Bobby McFerrin falling down the flight of stairs.
And Peter at the end was like, yay!
Yeah, yay!
All right.
That show had some moments.
It does still have its moments. All right, so Steve, until next time.
You're not my father or God or boss.
That guy was like 3 foot tall.
Game classy.